97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. I'm Bo Matthews, Mark Cox. There's Carl Middleman, our executive producer.
Pew, pew.
And it has been a crazy week again. And talking about the shooting at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. Scary times. And that's why we always go to an expert. And on the Missouri Brush Control guest line, coming back to the show, Sergeant Betsy Brantner-Smith. She's retired. She's spokesperson for the National Police Association, a nonprofit that supports law enforcement officers across the U.S. And she goes way back, began her police dispatcher career at 17 and held positions in patrol, investigations, narcotics, juveniles. She's legit. She is a boss. She is Sergeant Betsy Brantner-Smith. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio, ma'am. How are you?
Hey, good morning. And thanks so much for having me to talk about this horrific situation at UNLV.
I'll tell you, the one thing that I noticed in the press conferences is, you know, not many people are going to brag about or show their pride in the law enforcement, but the sheriff did. And I think it was the governor that was also at that press conference. Everybody was just raving about how law enforcement acted and reacted to the situation. Did you notice that as well?
Yeah, I absolutely did. You know, the two police detectives engaged the shooter, 67-year-old Anthony Polito, who is allegedly a career college professor. That's a whole other discussion. But they immediately ran toward the shots, engaged him, and eliminated him. So, you know, once again, good guys with a gun stop the bad guys with a gun. But I just have to tell you this, as I was flipping around channels, watching the different news feeds, and there were some really ridiculous anti-law enforcement sentiment by some of these infantilized students at the UNLV. And in fact, I called on the UNLV today on X to perhaps teach their students some respect and help them grow up a little bit.
Yeah, what were the comments? I didn't see that.
Well, on Fox News, they interviewed a witness who immediately talked about how triggered he was that the police officers were shouting at the students. They were raising their voices. Now, understand, what law enforcement had to do was go in and they had to clear the business building and the student union and other buildings around there, room by room by room. This is a huge campus. It's close to the airport. And you know, they did such a great job of, you know, they stopped all the flights at the airport, gave a good, you know, stop, not a shelter. They gave a shelter in place, but they also said, you know, stop, hide, fight. You know, they encourage students, if they have to, run, hide, fight. There were other students that, as the police were bringing them out of rooms, they were videotaping themselves saying, "Oh, shoot me," and "piggy, piggy, oink, oink." It was, but I will say that the sheriff, the governor, other political leadership, the university leadership were absolutely glowing in their praise for law enforcement. And this is a police department that, you know, knows what they're doing. They've dealt with this kind of situation before, obviously, multiple times. And I've trained there a lot. My husband and I have been training there for 20-some years. And these are great cops, and they showed us yesterday what fine law enforcement professionals they
plus,
really are.
Plus, you know, I'm sorry for these snowflakes who got triggered because they were being yelled at. But when an officer goes into a situation like that, Sergeant, they don't know for sure who the bad guy is, or if the bad guy had any accomplices. You're trying to clear the scene and evaluate threats at the same time, right?
Yeah. Remember, we're at a stage right now where one of the biggest things we're thinking about is terrorism. So here we have a college campus. They've already engaged one shooter, 67-year-old guy. We have got to find out, are there explosives? Are there other bad guys? Are there booby traps, you know, additional weapons, things like that? There's so much for law enforcement to have to do, and we've got to do it calmly and methodically, but quickly. And you're dealing with, you know, panicked people who really don't know what's going on, and you don't know who are the good guys and who are the bad guys. So in these types of situations, you've got to, you know, get people out, search their backpacks, have their hands up, things like that.
Sergeant Smith is our guest on this subject, and I think two observations. Number one, those that are listening to this program right now need to be listening as a lesson as to what to do in a situation when law enforcement shows up to a situation. So pay attention to what she is saying, because she is the trainer. She is the one that works with law enforcement and knows what she's talking about. I've been doing it over 20 years. The other thing that caught me off guard when the story broke, actually, Sergeant, is the airport thing. Why did they shut down the airport? I don't know if I've heard that before in a mass shooting type situation.
The UNLV campus is literally a stone's throw from Harry Reid International Airport. So okay. I think that was a very good call on the part of the sheriff. And again, what are we thinking about? What are we talking about right now? We're talking about terrorism.
Yeah.
And so I think that was a very good move. You know, I was just there. I was in that airport 2 days ago. And it's a really busy airport. This is the holiday travel season. But it was a really good move on their part. You know, and we had, you know, the political class started in on this whole situation within about 10 minutes, you know, calling for assault weapons bans and things like that. There were some things going on in Washington, D.C. And in reality, this shooter had a handgun. He didn't have anything unusual. He apparently applied for a job. We haven't had 100% confirmation on that, but he applied for a job there. He's a career university professor, didn't get the job, maybe had an argument with somebody, but he wasn't targeting students. This was all staff and other professors that he targeted.
Well, Sergeant, I'm so glad that you brought that up, because I was going to make an observation here. As I read these initial reports on this shooting, and even up until Thursday, even they were, none of the articles would mention what kind of gun was used. And whenever I see that in the wake of a shooting like this, what that tells me is that it wasn't an assault rifle, because if it was, that would have been the lead story, because it gives them the narrative they need as they continue to push for bans on these scary black rifles. And now we know it was a handgun.
Absolutely. And unfortunately, the UNLV campus is a gun-free zone. So any of these students there who would have wanted to exercise their Second Amendment rights and protect themselves and their friends, you know, they were unable to do so as law-abiding citizens. And that's one of the things around this country. When you see these gun-free zones, and this is something you guys talk about all the time, who do they protect? They protect the criminals. They don't protect anybody else. And I'll tell you, my kids are older, but if my kids were on a college campus right now, I'd want them on a campus like Hillsdale University or Liberty University, where you can arm yourself and train with your firearm right on campus and be able to protect yourself and your friends.
Yeah, I love that. It's a good point.
Well, I've got an observation that a friend of mine, his daughter's going to a very conservative college, and this is her second year, and they picked this college because it's a conservative family and they have certain thoughts, and he shared a Thanksgiving story when they all got together that he realized that his daughter had gone woke on a major level, and she's at a conservative college, and she happened to have a roommate that was not so conservative, but the creep is moving even into conservative colleges and changing young lives. I mean, because, you know, just think, young people's brains are so much like a sponge that they're just looking for information. But man, the left, the hard left, is really going hard at anybody and everybody, especially the young people. And that's what's slated to move up and you know, be part of the culture of our country and politics of our country. So it was actually very scary to hear this conversation, because he was so proud to send his daughter to this particular school, and this is what's happening even there.
You know, today is Pearl Harbor Day, and I want everybody to think about how many heroic men were involved in Pearl Harbor Day who were under the age of 22. In other words, college aged. And yet, at this campus yesterday at UNLV, when this shooter started his attack, one of the things the police were concerned about was there was a student event outside of the business college building where students were eating fun food and playing with Legos as part of the stress reduction for finals. Let's contrast that with the young men and women who were killed, injured, or acted heroically on Pearl Harbor Day. One of the things we need to do in this nation is to go back to helping people 18 and over grow up.
It's such a good point. You mentioned the greatest generation there. I worry all the time. And, you know, I've talked to people who are military veterans and retired generals, and I've asked them, what if we face that again? Do you worry at all in the back of your head that the backbone is not there in the generations we've been bringing up since? I mean, I like to believe, because at every point in American history, the right person has risen to the occasion, or the American people have risen to the occasion. I worry about that these days. When you've got it, need a safe space on campus because the person you didn't vote for got elected president, you can't deal with that little bit of stress. What would you do facing the trials and the gunfire that the greatest generation faced in World War II? I worry about that all the time.
I'll tell you what, let me put you at ease just a little bit. My husband and I still travel this country and train law enforcement officers. And the Gen Z folks that we meet, the young police officers and police cadets that we meet around this country, would absolutely warm your heart. And they love this country. They love the profession of law enforcement. And that's what we're trying to do at the National Police Association, is encourage more of those young people to come to this profession, because the tide, you know, that pendulum is swinging back where most people appreciate their law enforcement. Most people love law enforcement. So I think we are right to have a lot of hope in this upcoming generation, but we got to work harder.
I would say that's true. A lot of people do support law enforcement, but why do the anti-law enforcement and the defund the police people, their speaker is so much louder, and that's what bugs me. I do want to point out that in one story that I saw about the shooter in Vegas was 67-year-old career college professor. How about hats off to the people that did not hire the guy? Something, you know, did not pass the vetting situation. But then you see where we're at here after this. It's like, what is going on in this world? I'm sure in days to come, we'll learn more about who he was. Polito, I guess his name was. I'd love to know more about, you know, his politics. I'd love to know, because it seems like so many of these mass shooters that you know, we hear about are from the left. They are, you know, in a situation that mental illness, obviously, in this case, is real.
Well, it is. You know, it's the same with the shooter that we just had in Texas in the last couple of days. You know, a mentally ill guy who went on a shooting rampage. Mental illness in this country is a horrible problem. The CDC just announced that we had 50,000 suicides, a record number of suicides in a year's time, and we're not getting a handle on it. And the problem is. We have gone too far in giving the mentally ill rights, and we don't give rights to the crime victims or potential crime victims or the families of the mentally ill. We've got to go back, unfortunately, but we have got to go back to being able to involuntarily commit people to mental institutions. And that means we've got to put money into those mental health institutions, and we've got to start getting people with mental illness some help instead of just letting them live on our streets and calling 911 when our mentally ill relative is out of control. It's a problem.
That's a good point.
they're putting them on medications and putting them out into society, and it's just wrong on so many levels. And this is just another example of that. Well, Sergeant Smith, thank you so much for being accessible to us for Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. We appreciate your career, your life's work, you and your husband together. Be safe and happy holidays. Thanks for joining us again.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Our pleasure. Sergeant Betsy Brantner Smith there, spokesperson for the National Police Association. And, you know, here we go again. I was so glad to get her on here with that news that this was a handgun. I've not been able to find it was you couldn't find that information in the mainstream media. But, you know, had it been a rifle, that would have been the lead story.
Oh, just the image of it. Right.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
The person with the long gun. When we all know that most crimes are done with handguns.
And it didn't stop the president of the United States of America from coming out in the White House this week and calling again for a ban on assault weapons. Right. I mean, he did. They don't care if it fits their narrative. They think it. They'll try to make it fit the narrative, whether it does or not. And that's just a shame.
Okay, well, that's going to wrap it up for this edition of Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. Always a great conversation. Just one more reminder that I believe at this time that you're hearing this show, we still may have a ticket or two for the 12 Guns of... that was my old title. The Year of Guns Gun Raffle. What, is 12 Guns of Christmas a bad thing? Is
no,
that a bad
I
name?
Take 12 Guns at Christmas. Are you kidding me?
Anyway, find me on Facebook, Bo Matthews. Contact me, and we'll get you a ticket, if they're still available, that is.
Sounds
for the
great.
Police Officer Support Fund.
Yeah, what a great cause, too. All right, buy yourself a ticket for that. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you on the next edition of Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors.
See you, boys.
I'm front row in Las Vegas, and there's a big one on tonight.
Get more at 971talk.com.